Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Helena community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? People often ask me how to sign up to tell a story at Tell Us Something. Go to tellussomething.org and click Tell a Story to see the themes for 2017. Click the link for the theme that resonates with you. A new page opens, and there you can complete the form. And then call 406-203-4683 to pitch your story. This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on April 6th, 2017 at Free Ceramics in Helena, Montana. 9 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, The First Time. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Andy Shirtliff and is titled, The First Time I Stopped a Bank Robbery. Thanks for listening.
Tonight, I'm going to tell you a story about the first time I stopped a bank robbery. It begins when I was 21 years old. I was living in Venice Beach, California. This is my second time living in California, trying to chase my dream of acting in Los Angeles or in Hollywood. This time, I was a little older, I was a little wiser, and my roommate happened to be a casting director. So we lived in this little studio apartment, and your typical really small studio apartment in a big city. We lived right by the Venice Beach boardwalk. It cost us about $800 to live there. I paid $400 just to live on a futon. Luckily, my roommate could get me work. So I was working on things like TV shows, movies, commercials, all that kind of fun stuff. But the thing is about doing background extra work. Does anybody know what a background extra is? It's just like, let's say you're the star of the show. All these people here tonight, those are the background extras. They're the atmosphere. They make it look real. To do that, you get paid whether you work 8 hours or 8 minutes. You get paid $50. You could make a pretty decent living. But when you parse that out over a day, you're making minimum wage. So I was working on these shows, and luckily, the pay isn't that good, but I was able to meet some great people and some weirdos too. But I was sitting there one day, I would always carry a pack of cigarettes with me so I could introduce myself to folks. Yeah, anybody need a cigarette or a lighter? Sure, I was always ready. So it was my way of networking. So kids don't smoke, just don't. So I met this guy, and he said, we run into each other on all these different TV shows and movies. And I just said, hey, man, we keep running into one another. What's your name? He said, well, I'm John. So John and I ended up being fast friends, and John and I ended up getting on the subject of rent. He says, well, man, your rent sounds way too high. Let's just do, I'm looking for a roommate. $125 a month. How's that sound? Oh, my God. So $400 to live on a futon in Venice, or $125, save some money, and live in the valley. So I said, all right. Went to my roommate, said, hey, buddy, thank you so much for all your help and everything. I'm moving out. He says, that's no problem. My girlfriend's moving in. Oh, this is nice. So I moved from Venice Beach to the valley, to a town known as Van Nuys, California. Van Nuys is also known as the porn capital of the world, but don't tell my mom that. And so I moved in sight unseen to this really dingy apartment. And I wish I would have seen it, because it was food everywhere, clothing everywhere. And I lived on an inflatable mattress in the living room. And I found out why the rent was so cheap. This guy was growing weed in his bedroom, and he had a lamp on for 20 hours a day. And he was trying to fool the electric company. Oh, there's 2 people living here. That's why my bill's so high. Well, luckily, to get away from this and to get away from the stress of trying to make money or barely anything, I would go hike. I'd go hike up in the Hollywood Hills right behind the Hollywood sign. Because I missed home, I missed being around the mountains. Well, I would go hike. A buddy and I would go play Frisbee. And one day, I ended up losing the Frisbee in a ravine. I stepped down into a bush. I didn't know what it was then, but when I got home and I woke up in a cold sweat at 3 in the morning, I realized I had stepped in poison ivy. and I was itching, and I didn't have health insurance, unfortunately. So we went to the urgent care. Walked in, of course, you got to meet with a doctor. That costs money. You got to get a shot, and then you're on prescription pills. So this costs a lot of money, money I didn't have. I didn't realize I was overdrawing my account with every single expense. It's $30 every single time you buy something, whether it's food, whether it's fuel, or you're trying to take an acting class. It costs an extra $30. So I called my bank and I said, you know, I got to get a handle on all this on my account. How much am I overdrawn by? Well, let's see, sir. It looks like you're overdrawn by about $300 to $400. And I said, well, I'm making $50 a pop on anything I'm working on. I said, there's no way. Is there a way that we can maybe, what is it without the fees? How about that? And she says, well, you're about overdrawn by about $100 without the fees. Okay, so I really need to get out of this. I'm expecting a couple paychecks. I'm working a bunch this week. The check's usually pretty reliable. What do you say we just get rid of the fees? I pay you this week. All right, but just this once. All right, thank you very much. God bless. Thank you. And hang up. Well, the next day I get home, I'd worked on a TV show and a commercial. And I'd been working until about 2 or 3 in the morning. It was late. But the first thing I did, believe you me, was look at that mailbox for those paychecks. And I found one. Not just one, but 3. I did the math. You can do the math. I was out of the red. I was in the black. I could actually eat. I could actually fill up my gas. I could actually go on a date or grab a cup of coffee or go to my next audition. So what I did is I'm not going to wait. I've got to work in the morning. I need to cash these checks. And thankfully, the bank that I belonged to, which was a couple blocks away, allowed you to deposit those checks right into the ATM machine. So I walked over, or I pulled in, went up right to the ATM machine, and all of a sudden, they're all out of order. Crap. I don't have any time tomorrow to get there. So, oh, wait, there's a branch 3 miles in Sherman Oaks. So I'll just drive over there. And so I hop in my car and I race over to Sherman Oaks, and sure enough, it's the big branch right by the freeway. And it's this big white building, and it's connected to a KB toy store and a Ross Dress for Less. It's this big white building. And across from it, across this alley, is a parking structure. And I pull in, getting ready, and all of a sudden I see this family get out of this little truck. And this family is a father, a mother, and a son. And I see that they're getting ready to go clean the bank. And you see the father, oh, come on. And you can see him carrying his little 5-gallon bucket with him. And I kind of recognize it's like my life could be completely different. I said I should be thankful for what I have. And I'm kind of recognizing what's going on here. And I see him open up the door, and I see their heads move. And I see that they see something off to the right. So do I. And I see this big hulking figure just racing towards them and just bounding towards them. And finally, they get inside and they lock the door. Instinctually, I turn on my headlights and I put on my brights, and I'm driving right towards this guy. I'm calling the cops and I'm describing what he looks like. Yes, Mr. Officer, he's about 250. He's 6'5". He's wearing a white sweatshirt, black sweatpants, because honestly, who wears white sweatpants? And so he's walking up and he's up against the wall because he knows I'm coming at him, and he's got a ski mask on and a duffel bag. And you hear him go, oh shit. And he just runs off towards these bushes, and he jumps in the bush, and he jumps, and I can see. So I pull over with my car, and I pull up, and I'm listening. I'm like, hold on, I'm listening, and I see through the bushes. I just see like bush, ski mask, bush. Wait a minute. And so he's like, oh shit, and he throws his bag in the back of his car, and he races off, and he goes behind the big white building. And I'm like, great. I'm gonna get in front of him. I'm in hot pursuit. And like, no, sir, no hot pursuit. Yes, I'm in hot pursuit. And so I'm racing around, and I'm thinking I'm gonna catch him. And there I am. I'm just racing. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be. I'm gonna get him. And I'm like, okay, who's gonna be good cop? Who's gonna be bad cop? And I'm like, no, sir. And so I get there, and I pull up, and all of a sudden I am surrounded by 4 cop cars. Guns drawn, and I have a helicopter, which they affectionately called the Ghetto Bird, right over top of us, and they're like, get out of the car. And mind you, I'm like, I'm one of the good guys. And so I get out, and It's like, well, I think you went on the I-5, and then some of them race off, and I kind of explain who I am and what I'm doing. And the dispatcher, I handed him, see, I told you I was the guy. And so I'm like, thank you. And so anyways, I go back to, so that night he says, why don't you just, you should just go home for the night. I said, yeah, I think you're right. So I go home. I wake up the next morning before I have to go to work, and I go to the same branch, and I walk in, sit down, talk to the nice gal, and I said, so, yeah, I explained to her, and she says, oh, cool, okay, yeah, we'll waive the fees, don't worry. And I said, well, she's working. Hear about last night? Excuse me? Yeah, did you hear about all the excitement? Because you can't say fire in a theater, you can't say bomb in an airport, you cannot say robbery in a bank. Anyways, I walked out, and I realized that my car was parked in the exact same spot where that family was last night. And that was the first time I stopped a bank robbery.
Thanks, Andy. Born in Butte, America, raised in Kalispell, Andy Shurtleff has lived and worked all across the state of Montana. From graduating from the University of Montana, to working in Billings in eastern Montana, to his current position as the Small Business Advocate for the Governor's Office of Economic Development. In his off time, which isn't much, he enjoys drinking craft beer, grilling, hiking, and photography. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, The Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building and has become a destination for nationally touring musicians. TheWilma.com, CabinetParts.com. The number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. The bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Good Food Store, supporting Western Montana farmers and ranchers for almost 50 years, The Good Food Store supports local folks creating their own beer, salsa, baked goods, ice cream, and more. The Good Food Store is a passionate supporter of Missoula nonprofits, supporting multiple organizations, events, and fundraisers every year. Learn more at goodfoodstore.com. Missoula Broadcasting Company is locally owned and operates four radio stations. The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM 105.9, playing what they want. You 104.5 FM, your at-work listening station. And ESPN 102.9, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, or mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He's at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCain Woodworks. Enlighten Lab Float Center. Enlighten Lab Float Center is a spa featuring sensory deprivation or floating as a wellness therapy. Unplug, reset, and recharge in their state-of-the-art float tanks. Learn more at enlightenlab.com. That's ENLYTENLAB.com. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design and are a proud supporter of the arts, hosting First Fridays every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. Podcast production by me, Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers, Emily Free Wilson, Elizabeth Rivard, Laura King, Andrea Crossguns, me, Mark Moss, Sarah Elkins, Andy Shirtliff, Jessica Peterson, and Aaron Parrott.
Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. If you're interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at mark@tellussomething.org. That's MARC@tellussomething.org. Podcast production by me, Mark Moss.
For the most up-to-date information about Tell Us Something and upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast. Check out the website to listen to 6 years worth of stories, tellussomething.org. For the most up-to-date information about Tell Us Something and upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast. Check out the website to listen to 6 years worth of stories, tellussomething.org.